hardest thing about leaving the second time that we left here was surrendering to leave my pastor. And it could never be the blessing that he and his wife were to us. And we're grateful for that. It's good to be here. We thank the church. Also like to thank the Tituses, Mark and Sherry, for keeping us. They apparently drew the short straw.
We're hoping you wouldn't find out.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. If we're even invited, I don't know. But it's a blessing to stay in their house. I don't know how much food they think we eat, but they have been a tremendous blessing to us. We thank them for having us in their home and making us feel so welcome. And yeah, we bring you greetings from Faith Baptist Church in Horton, Michigan. And we have one of our members here with us, Sister Roberta. We're thankful for her. I believe she's the only charter member from when the church began, and she's just been consistent. We're glad to have her here with us. And we thank you for your prayers. Had some health problems this past fall and winter, and seems as though the doctors have me on a good medicine, and it doesn't seem like it's anything fatal or anything like that, and the medicine seems to really work, and I don't have any side effects, and I'm just thankful for that. As long as I take my medicine, I'm fine. And we appreciate all those that prayed for us and thought about us, and I'm doing much better now than I was. I got to where I could hardly stand in the pulpit for very long, and now I'm just back to normal. So we're thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 19. I have referenced many times the fact that I'm a lifer. I've been in church all my life, you know, and there's a danger to that. And the danger of familiarity, you become familiar with terms to the point that you don't really know what they mean. And it happens. It happens to preachers, and it happens to all of us. And what I'd, Lord willing, like to speak about this afternoon is holiness, but it's not the same as righteousness. And sometimes they're very connected, but sometimes we don't think about what does it mean for something to be holy. What does that really mean for something to be holy? And the purpose of the message is not to try to beat everybody up and step on every toe that we can find or anything along that line, but just to consider what does it mean for something to be holy. And personally, I desire holiness. I desire that. I had rather somebody else be preaching this message so that I could sit and just have the Lord work on me for a while. That's truly my desire. And so as I consider these things, they're more for me perhaps than for you. But the idea of being holy, if you have your Bibles in Exodus 19 and verse number 6. Well, let's read verse number 5 before we read that. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. The Bible defines itself over and over again. And really, that is a very good definition of holy. Peculiar treasure. Something very different. Something set apart. Peculiar. Something set aside. And God said, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. A kingdom of priests. It's an interesting thought. A kingdom of priests. And if you've been like me, if you've been in church most of your life, you grew up kind of thinking that Christians are here and God's men are here. You know, and we sometimes erroneously live under that assumption. And God's men should strive to have lives which are set apart. But God said that He wanted a kingdom of priests. An entire kingdom of priests. A kingdom of people that were set aside and dedicated for the service of God. That the whole kingdom should be set aside for this. And that they would be a holy nation. The word holy, it means dedicated or set aside to a particular purpose. It's very similar to the word sanctified. Has this sense of being altogether different than everything else. For a different purpose than everything else. You know, you may have a computer that has several drives on it, and one of those drives may be a dedicated drive. It has a singular purpose that it doesn't serve all of the other tasks. It doesn't serve to all of the other purposes. It has a singular purpose. When God chose His people Israel, and when He chose us as well, He wanted us to have a dedicated purpose. We would be set aside for a particular purpose. God, first and foremost, is holy. He is altogether different. He is not like anything else that there is. He is altogether different. There is nothing like Him. That's what it means when He is holy. When the angels say, holy, 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 they're saying, there is nothing like You, there is nothing like You, there is nothing like You. You are altogether different and separate from everything that we know. We often preach on separation. But do we really think about what that means to be separate? You can't be separated just by changing your outfit. It doesn't work that way. That is not separation. And we're going to look at holiness, the Bible, in Leviticus 11:45. We're not going to turn there. But God said in that passage, be holy for I am holy. And whenever the Bible says be something, I'm a grammar student, even though I may not sound like it. My wife says, you know, for a state silver medal grammar champion, you sure don't talk like it. And I'm sorry, I don't. But when I have to, I can correct a paper or edit a page if I need to. But be is a particular kind of verb. It's a linking verb. It's a state of being verb. And it's interesting, the Bible is one of the only books that tells us to be something different. How's that for a self-help book? You pull it off the shelf, you open it up, and it says, be something different. How can that be? Well, that is because of that authority that was talked about earlier. The authority and the power that the Word of God has in our lives. But the Bible tells us to be something. And in Leviticus there it said, be ye holy. You have a choice in the matter. You have ability in the matter to be holy. And when we talk about being holy, we're not... And again, they're very close to one another, but they are not the same, being holy and being righteous. They're close, but not the same. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We know the story of Peter and God giving him permission to eat bacon, which we're all thankful for. Acts chapter 10 and verse 14 says, and Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. We have in these two verses, we have what I believe are three categories here of things. The Bible doesn't stutter. I learned that a long time ago. The Bible doesn't stutter. So when it says something, it says it with a purpose. And it said there in verse 14, Peter said, I have not eaten anything that is either common or unclean. Not eaten common or unclean. And then the third group that we see is what God said unto him through this voice in verse 15, what God hath cleansed. So we have three things here. We have unclean, we have common, and we have what God has cleansed, which is holy. Holy. That which is cleansed, or that which is made clean, in other words, it's been set apart from filth. That's what you're doing when you're cleansing something. You are setting it apart. You are cleaning it, cleansing it. You are separating it from filth. That is what you're doing. Everything on this earth that is holy is cleansed, because this earth is full of sin. So anything here that is holy has been cleansed. There were all kinds of laws of cleansing, and I've just simply not been around long enough to grasp everything that's there in those passages. There's so much there. And I wish I could speak as an expert concerning those things, but there's so much concerning the laws of cleansing. But I just want to bring out today these three groups. There's that which is unclean, that which is common, and then that which is holy. Things that are unclean, if you touched them in the Bible, they would defile you. They had a defiling ability. They would make you unclean at that point. They had the ability to transfer their defilement to you, to where now you are a defilement. And there's many things in this world that fit into that category. They have the ability to transfer defilement to you, to where now you are a defilement, to where you are an abomination. You are a defilement, and you are able to defile others and other things. That's a category that we see there. There's that which is unclean in the Bible. And we've already referenced and looked at that which is cleansed, or that which is holy, that which is set apart for a special purpose. Everything in the temple was holy, was set apart. It had a special purpose. All these little vessels and lavers and altars and lamps, they were sanctified, which means they were set apart for a special purpose. They just had one purpose. You could not use those things that were in the temple for anything else. They had one purpose. They were sanctified. They were holy. They were dedicated. Dedicated is another word that we have taken down through time in our language. You know, we say, well, that person's very dedicated. Well, we're not really using that right. Most of the time when we say that, we say we're meaning that they work very hard. And they're pretty committed. That's what we're trying to say. But they're not dedicated. An athlete who goes to the Olympics, you might be able to say they're dedicated because 8, 9, 10 hours a day, they train all day, that's all they do. When they go home at night, they just eat food that helps them be an athlete, and they're dedicated. Their whole life is either skating or skiing. They're dedicated. But most of us as Americans today, we don't know what dedicated is. We're very multi in many ways. We're very multi. The word holy, it occurs so many times in the Bible. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Again, we have these three categories: unclean, common, and holy. And there are things that fit into all of those categories. And then, Lord willing, we'll make some application to these things. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. This is the first incident, first time that we see just the word, the English word holy in our Bibles. It's God in the burning bush speaking to Moses in verse 5, and he says, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." It is set apart, hallowed ground. And he said, "Take your shoes off." Now, as we think of the three groups that we have of things, he had to take his shoes off because they were not holy. But there's really nothing wrong with shoes. Really, shoes to me fit into the category of common. It's really where they fit. They're common. Things that are common are still not holy. They're necessary. They're in our lives, but they are not holy. There's nothing wrong with shoes, my mother-in-law is saying. Praise the Lord. Preach it. There's nothing wrong with shoes. How many times do people come to us, Pastor, what's wrong with this? I don't see anything wrong in the Bible with this. We have these discussions tirelessly. What's wrong with this? Why can't I do that? Well, how about this? And what we're going to see, that in order to have areas of our life be holy, and we're going to look at areas of life, there's our heart, there's our mind, there's our home, there's our church, there's a lot of things. And the holy and the common are separate. We've lost this distinction today. It's why contemporary music has overtaken churches. You could say, well, there's nothing wrong with contemporary music. And I personally would say, okay. But it doesn't belong here. What we do here is holy. It's not common. Amen. That music is common. And that's fine. It's like shoes. It's common. And I'm fine with it. Whatever. If you want to listen, whatever. But it's not holy. It's not different. It's what everybody is doing. It's what the whole world is saturated with. And we've lost a distinction between holy and common. The world is full of common. And God has asked us to not be common. That's really what He has asked us to do. Now, He hasn't asked us to throw out our shoes. And don't get me wrong. But we have lost the distinction between that which is common and that which is holy. And we have intermingled so much common. There's so much in us. It's so common. Think about just a little small area just to help bring home what I'm trying to say about common. Think about devotion time in your life. Devotion time in your life has to be holy. It has to be set apart. It can't just be blended with your day. It doesn't work. Try it. You'll find out it was a big waste of time. It has to be holy. We have forgotten what that means. There's a song that we sing sometimes that says, take time to be holy. You know, and the old joke is, for the sake of time, let's just sing the first and third verse. You know, but the idea of taking time. You can't have something holy without setting it apart. The Sabbath day. God says, honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you fill the Sabbath day with the common, right, just fill it in. Right. It's not holy. It's not holy. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with baseball. There's nothing wrong with NASCAR. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But if you fill that whole day with common, it is a common day. It is not a holy day. And that's the idea of common, unclean, and holy. And sometimes we're mistaken in thinking for something to be holy, we just have to get out that which is unclean. And that's not true. That's not entirely true biblically. And we'll see that as we study some of these things. It was already referenced, Romans chapter 9 and verse 21, there's different vessels there that are elected and chosen in Romans 9. Some to wrath and some to life. And they have different purposes. There are different vessels in our homes that have different purposes. There are vessels we drink out of in our home. There are vessels we do not drink out of in our home. There are dog bowls and there are people bowls. There are chicken bowls and people bowls. Don't get them confused. And there is a distinction between that which is cleansed and that which is not and that which is common. There's that distinction. And the primary area, as we will see, that this distinction has to be is within us. It's within us, this distinction. Holiness, as we will see, is by subtraction. It's by subtraction. Things have to be subtracted. In our American lives that are so busy, things have to be subtracted for holiness to exist. Holiness means that we are set apart for one purpose. And if you think of it that way, if you think of yourself, if you say, I am set apart for a single purpose, you will begin to identify tons of common things that don't belong. As you go through your day and you say, I am set apart for a purpose, and my one purpose is the Lord, there will be all kinds of things that you will recognize that no longer fit. They're common. There's nothing wrong with them. Again, people say, well, what's wrong with this, preacher? Nothing. Nothing. It's just common. Everybody's doing it. Now you got the answer. It's common. If everybody's doing it, it's common. And the more that you are filled with the common, the less that you can be holy. Again, the shoes of Moses. Nothing wrong with shoes. Please wear shoes. Please. The more you are filled with the common. And there are multiple examples of this throughout the Bible. There's David when he's fleeing for his life, and he runs into the temple, and his guys have been running for a while. They're starving to death, and they come to the priest, and the priest says, all I have is holy bread. I don't have common bread, and you guys are common. And they said, but if you have kept yourselves from women, you may have the holy bread. If you have set yourselves apart, that's what he was saying. If you have set yourselves apart, then you may partake in the holy. You may partake in the holy. See, that's the issue. We want the indwelling of the Spirit. We want God in our lives. We want these things to happen. And that's why I get studying these things, because I want that to happen. I want as much of the Holy Spirit of God in my life as I can. I want to be there like Moses at the face of the burning bush. But in order for that to happen, we have to be willing at times to take off our shoes. And we're not willing many times to put away the unclean, much less the common. In order for that to happen, there's nothing wrong with the common. The Bible never rebukes the common. But it does. It has a place. It has a time. And we see that in Scripture. Holy, dedicated to a single purpose. Think about that. I am dedicated to a single purpose. Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, this one thing I do. In other words, I have one purpose. His one purpose was the pursuit of Christ. This one thing I do. He was dedicated to that purpose. James chapter 3, verse 11, tells us that a fountain cannot bring forth sweet water and bitter. Talking about our tongue. If we're going to have a holy tongue, we've got to separate from ourselves that which is unclean and separate out what is common, because a well cannot bring forth sweet water and bitter. It will be a mixture. It will be a mixture. And a mixture, by definition, is never holy. You understand that? A mixture, by definition, is never, ever holy. Sometimes we think that holiness comes by addition. We've already said that it comes by subtraction. If I defile this water, and I go and get another bottle of pure water to pour on top of it, I just have more defiled water. And this is what we try to do with our lives many times. Well, I'll start doing this for the Lord, and I'll start doing that, and I'm going to go to church more. And you just created more defilement. That's all that you've done. Holiness is by subtraction, but subtraction hurts. We don't like to give up. We don't like to let go of anything. Holiness is by subtraction. There's a popular video going around right now of a preacher. He's a little charismatic for my taste, but he gives an analogy of a pizza box. You may have seen it. He's walking around on the platform with a pizza box. And he says, pizza box is an interesting thing. Nobody calls and orders a pizza and says, you know, make sure you throw in a box. You just assume that box will be there. You need the box. The box is only 39 cents. It's not worth anything. And that pizza box is like our vessel. It's not really worth that much. The contents are what have the value. The pizza is the value. And with us, the content, the Holy Spirit of God, is what has the value. But the pizza box, it has a pretty important purpose. I mean, you can't just go and throw a pizza in your passenger seat. You need the box. You've got to have the box. The box is maybe 39 cents altogether, printed, folded, and shipped. It's not that much. But the box, it has to be clean and dedicated to that purpose. Otherwise, it can't deliver pizza. If it's got something defiling in it, it can't deliver pizza. Even if it's got something in it that's not defiling but just doesn't go with pizza. If it's got cake in it, it cannot deliver pizza. It just can't. It is wholly dedicated to the purpose of pizza. It's built for pizza. It's shaped like pizza. It holds pizza. It has one job, and that's what it is. And when we think of our lives and how that we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can minister to others, I always think of Barnabas, how that the Bible said that he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And I say, I want that. I want that. How do you get there? You've got to have an empty, clean pizza box. An empty, clean vessel. If you're going to deliver for the Lord, you have to be empty, clean. You've got to rid yourself of the unclean, and in many circumstances, rid yourself of the common. There's only so much common that'll fit in our lives. And that's painful. We don't want to let go of it. We can justify it forever because we can look at it and go, there's nothing wrong with that. And you are right, there is nothing wrong with that. Except I can't serve the purpose. I cannot serve the purpose that I want to serve. I cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. Philippians chapter number 4, if you turn there. There are some things, and I've said that holiness is by subtraction. And sometimes the way you subtract something is you displace it. You displace it. You force it out. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he begins talking about our mind. Let's read verse 8. We'll skip down. Verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You're going to think about something. That's the way the mind works. You're going to think about something. And if you're going to have a holy mind, you're going to have to displace the other things. They have to be displaced. Our mind and our heart need to be holy. In order to have a holy life and a holy mind and a holy heart, it's not going to be so much that you're going to have to go home and necessarily bulldoze the place and get rid of everything you have. The bulldozing needs to start in here. Displacing the things that are in here. As a man of God gets ready to preach and he tries to get a message, he goes through an exercise of displacing and trying to get out everything that's in here. And if he hasn't been too good at that lately, if he has filled his mind with the common and he's filled his mind with the unclean, it'll never happen. It is, And the same for our devotion time. If we are so busy, and our calendar is so full, and our mind is so full, you know, you may be able to manage a full calendar and not have a mind full, but that's hard for me to do. A mind full of the common. Constantly thinking about, that's one of my biggest difficulties. Constantly meditating, but not on God. Constantly trying to figure something out. Constantly working something out. Constantly planning my next sales trip, my next whatever. Thinking about how to perform better at work. Thinking about how to do this at home. Planning this, planning vacation, planning. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. And you would be right. You would be right. But you cannot be holy. That's the catch. You can have everything you want to have in your life, but you will never be holy. You may be acceptable, but holy is a different term. That's what we need to realize today, is that holy is a different term. It's a term talking about being set apart for a particular use. And do you want that in your life? Do you desire that in your life? Do you want to be set apart for a particular use? And when you're set apart for a particular use, God will use you. God will use you. God will fill you. If you are an empty vessel, clean, purified, set apart, there's nothing else down in there, God will fill you. Isn't that what we desire? Isn't that why we come to conferences? Isn't that why we go to church week in and week out? We pray, Lord, fill me up. Give me what I need. We desire that. And again, there's nothing wrong with the common. There's times and places for the common. But if certain parts of our life, if we want them to be holy, if we want to have a holy mind, going to have to displace some of the common. Yep. That's how it's going to have to happen. Yep. If we want a holy Sabbath day,
that's right.
Have to displace some of the common. If we want a holy worship service, we can't fill it with the common.
Amen.
People say, well, we can just come as we are at our church. Well, if that's what you want. That's just not what I want. There was a time that people really strive to make the Sabbath day holy.
Amen.
We've lost in our world what holiness is. It's differentness, it's set apartness, because God is set apart. Some part of our life has got to be holy. If we're going to have fellowship with God, isn't that what we read in the New Testament? If any man says that he has fellowship with God, but he keeps sin in his life, he's a liar. You don't have fellowship. We saw that with Moses. He had to take his shoes off if he wanted that fellowship, and if he wanted to commune with God face to face, he had to take off the common. God has called us to be a kingdom of priests. He wants all of us to be at that level. All of us to be at that place. All of us to be set apart and dedicated to a single purpose. Not just the pastor. Every one of us to be dedicated to a particular purpose. And it comes, holiness comes by subtraction. And it's painful. But if we want it in our lives, we have got to do that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible often says, sanctify yourselves. I used to get all confused theologically about that. It's like, save yourselves? No. Set yourselves apart for me. Think about that. To be set apart for God. Just set yourselves. Just say, I'm going to set myself apart for God. And maybe I can only muster up this week this block of sanctified time. Start somewhere. sanctify some time for the Lord. And sanctify your Sabbath day. Get everything else out of it. And then begin to sanctify your mind. Get everything else out of it. It's got to get out. I've got to have some sanctified time where it's me and it's God and my phone is off and it's just us.
Amen.
Just think of a marriage for a moment. I often reference the marriage relationship. Your wife wants sanctified time. She wants holy attention. She wants holy gifts. She doesn't want the same gift that you give everybody else. She wants a holy gift. One that's sanctified and it's different. The kind of attention that you give her. She wants a kind of attention that's different than the attention you give to everybody else. It's got to be sanctified. Sometimes I tell men, build your wife a sanctuary. You know? Build her own bathroom or build her own bedroom. Give her a place. We understand it in daily relationships. We just never really apply it to our relationship with God. And He is the most holy God. He is so different. But yet we approach Him like everything else. We approach Him like the common. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy. Be set apart." Thank you.